Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, here we go. Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Jaguars win in Cleveland. Three of the last four, as you know. So here's our big three, at least for our number one. Back-to-back, the Jaguars win consecutive games for the first time since 2010. Chad Henne leads a game-winning drive of 75 yards with 40 seconds left, throws the touchdown pass to Cecil Shorts. Number two, win at home, something the Jaguars haven't done since last November the 25th, and they're here on a short week to take on the Texans. Brings us to number three, the Texans twice in 11 days. Time to bring in from CBSSportsLine.com, Pete Prisco. Also, Tony Baselli is here. Fellas, let's start with back-to-back, and the Jaguars have, I don't know whether you want to call it momentum, you know, whether it's who they're facing, whether it's coaching, whatever you want to say, but they've got some traction right now as we go into the final month of the season.
Hey. Break them up, like I said. Like I wrote on CBSSports.com today. Break them up.
Well, I mean,
they're playing three out of four.
They're playing well.
And you know, Tony, you said this about the culture. I'm not a big carryover guy, but I'll say this. What's going on here is very telling about the head coach to me.
Absolutely. He created a culture. We've been saying
culture. Stop with the culture.
That's what it is, though, Pete. I mean, that's what he has done. Listen. This is a team, and I said it last week, and we've been saying it for a while now, and I've been ridiculed, and I've had people say, you know, this is ridiculous. He's too positive. Why is he so nice? You know, and I said, he has a plan. He has a conviction of how he's going to do things in the culture that Pete doesn't like that word. He wants to set here in the way he is going to do things and the way his team is going to play. They were 0-8.
They could have folded up.
Most teams folded up at 0-8.
Right.
With double-digit losses.
Right.
Never even in a game. The laughingstock of the league. Everyone saying they're going to go 0-16. Quote-unquote, being written by several people, the worst team in the history of the NFL.
Right.
What they do? They go to the bye week. They get better. He gives them the whole week off. They come back, and they play their brains out, and they play hard. And this is telling to me, every coach I've talked to, before the games, as we talk about the team and everything, he says, I'll tell you one thing. Those guys play hard.
Right.
They play hard.
Well, and you know, the thing about Gus is he kept preaching, not the message, but very specific things about improvement. At the bye week, he talked about improvement in the red zone. Yesterday, they were good in the red zone. He talked about better third down production. The last 2 weeks, 43 and 41% on third down. Talked about the running game. Back-to-back games over 100 after the first 10 weeks, not getting near it. He talked about what he wanted to get done, and then they went and did it. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday during the broadcast. This team is not a very talented team. It's a thin roster. But he is getting every ounce of production that he can, and that's the difference between where the Jaguars are and a lot of the other teams that are struggling in the league right now.
If you're a Jaguars fan, you got him you can hang your hat on, which I think, to me, this is very telling about a head coach. It really is. But you also go down the hallway and take a look at that draft. And to me, that's the most telling thing about this football team is that draft. You have one of those, okay. Now if he has another one and then another one and they spot in some free agents in the next couple years, oh my gosh, in 2015, if you get the right quarterback, this is going to be a damn good football team, and it should be for a long time.
Well, and if you look at – listen, it's the draft this year. You look at the young secondary, Jonathan Cyprian – who struggled early in the year because he didn't have a lot of reps in the preseason, is playing outstanding football right now.
Great football.
I mean, how many tackles did he make at or behind the line of scrimmage yesterday in the run game?
He reminds you, and Pete, you don't love this guy anymore, but a young Troy Polamalu, when he comes up with this speed and quickness in making
timing.
The open field tackles.
I think he covers – he actually – will be a good, better cover
player. Oh, I think so too. Absolutely. I mean,
to me, it was recognition early on, right? It was, his head was spinning. He was and you know this better than anybody because you played the game. But when you don't recognize,
oh, it's hard.
You play slower.
You do absolutely that's one of Gus's messages. We're going to make this simple, and we're going to let our guys play with freedom and speed, and you can start seeing that. And then you have Grotz, who, listen, struggled at times against Josh Gordon, but Josh Gordon, I mean, is a great player. But come up with a big pick, played well. And let's not forget some of the guys that, I mean, A. Sanders, we'll get to him a little bit later when we get to offense. But you look at two of the big signings in free agent, three of them. Cedric Marks had a heck of a game.
Good player.
And guess what? He's playing too many snaps, in my opinion, right now because they just don't have the depth. I mean, the guy's playing 65 snaps a game. I mean, it's too much.
You got, it's a two-man show tonight, by the way.
We turned off Brian's microphone. It's beautiful. Cedric Marks. You got Roy Miller, who's beat up but is just a war dad. He goes out there. And then Alan Ball. Alan Ball might want to be the better signings in free agency. He's a good, solid corner.
Okay.
Who plays well in this system.
Come back and are part of it, though? I mean, Ball's got another year, but what about the other two? Isn't Cedric Marks on a one-year deal?
One-year deal. Roy's on a two-year deal.
Roy's on a two-year deal.
So I think Cedric Marks, they try to sign back.
You have to.
Yeah.
Three tackles yesterday, a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and he knocked a pass down at the line of scrimmage.
He's a good football player. I liked him coming out of Auburn.
What do you get, 35 to 40 snaps out of him?
He's a much better player.
Right. More consistent.
I mean, listen, I mean,
he's been beat up.
He's not a huge man, number one. He's a edge guy, speed. He uses that well. He plays with great leverage, but he gets worn down. He can't play that many snaps.
There's another guy who's playing well right now. The numbers yesterday said it, but he's been playing well the last couple of weeks, not making the same mistakes he made early, and that's Jason Babin. I mean, he has been a much more disciplined player in what these guys are asking them to do, and he's yesterday a sack and a half, a couple passes batted down. He's been a very integral part of this defense's pass rush the last few weeks.
Well, and this is what you hear about Jason Babin, too. Great in the locker room, great in the meeting room. I mean,
it's an expensive contract.
Right? I'm not saying he's going to be brought back at the same number. I'm just saying he's good for the meeting room. I mean, he is bought in. He's been that veteran leader. He's done a nice job there. Even maybe when you're not getting the production you've wanted out of at stretches during the season, he's playing much better lately. But he's good for this young team.
Did you watch the tape yet?
Yeah.
What did Branch do yesterday? I haven't studied it yet.
Three tackles.
Yeah.
Is he still playing? Yeah, at least he's playing harder.
Yeah, he's playing hard. He's playing the run well. He's still not a great one-on-one pass rusher. He's not going to win a lot in those one-on-one battles, but he shows some quickness and flashes.
Loops and stuff. He's better on that, right?
Ryan Davis had some nice stuff inside at the three technique. He won a couple times with some speed. They're just playing better. Now, listen, the Browns aren't a very good football team. But that's okay. I mean,
there's some talent on that Browns team.
Oh, they got talent, but I'm just saying, this is a Jaguar team that three of the last 4 weeks has competed as hard as anybody, all four, has been opportunistic with turnovers, played good defense, and has done enough on offense. And Chad Henne, where he might have some stretches where it's not great, but Chad Henne is playing good football right now.
Now, look, it's a 75-yard drive was right down the heart of that defense with a couple 3:55 left to play, threw the game-winning touchdown, had that nice toss
to A.
Sanders. He came through. And you know what? After the beating that he took in the game in Houston, he had a ton of time. The offensive line did a great job protecting
him. I wanted to save a whole segment for that because those guys played great.
One thing, we asked this on the show yesterday. Cleveland, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville, take the quarterbacks out of the equation. Which team would you rather be right now for the future?
I'll take our team because of the head coach and the front office.
Are you just talking the roster?
Take your pick.
I take our team with the head coach. I'm telling you right now, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid since training camp, but that's a whole
other story. I'm just saying, Gus Bradley, mark it down, 5 years from now, will be considered one of the best head coaches in the NFL.
Wow.
Telling you.
Wow, I'm impressed with what he's done, yes.
I'm telling you.
But
I mean, listen, I'm not saying he'll be regarded as one of the guys that is, let me say this, because I don't think.
Like a Harbaugh?
Yeah, like an up and come, like one of the young guys.
Like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be that guy. I mean,
although he's going to have to earn it because Harbaugh came into a loaded roster.
Yeah, I'm not saying this team.
Gus is going to take some time.
But the 49ers weren't a loaded roster before he got. I mean, a couple years before that, they were.
No.
5 years from now, I think this is going to be a lot's got to go into it. And I'm not just saying this now because it's been 3 out of 4. We've been saying this. Since the beginning, I liked what Gus was doing. I like what Dave is doing. I think they're very smart. I think, too.
If you ask Andy Reid, because I know these are guys who have talked to and about Gus. If you ask Andy Reid and John Fox in particular about the way that the Jaguars play after their two teams played him this year, both of them were effusive. Grabbed Gus, pulled him back into an embrace at midfield after the game to say something more. Your comments, you said them, but I hope it hit people. Everywhere you go, there are coaches that want to talk about Gus. Everywhere. And not just the head coach, but the assistant coaches and the media. He's a different guy. It's hard to describe and put your finger on exactly what makes him special. But when you talk to the players in the locker room and you see the way his team is playing, he's got a formula that when this roster is loaded, right, when he's got the players, I think Tony's right. I think he's special.
That's why I take this group.
The other couple weeks, last couple weeks, the offensive coordinator showed up a little bit to me.
Well, we said it on the – and listen. He got fearless. And I'm very biased here. I've known Jed since he was a quality control where he almost – I mean, in Houston, when he was the, like, the lowest man on the lowest totem pole. Actually, I think he was a defensive guy that working with Vic Fangio and Dom on the defense side. I mean, young guy. And so I've known Jed a long time. And so he's a friend. I root for him. And listen, has there been times you could be critical as this beginning of the season, maybe question some of the play calls? Sure, but that's any offensive coordinator. But as you're seeing him grow, listen, there's no question he's one of the smarter, young, up-and-coming guys in football. I mean, he's a smart guy. He gets it. He's creative. He's been around some of the best offensive minds in football. He's been mentored by. He's learning how to be an NFL play caller. And you can see it progress in the creativity and him feeling, I don't know if it's confidence, freedom, or whatever, or that the guys are starting to understand what he wants to do. And I thought he called an outstanding game yesterday.
See, and just talking to some coaches that know him around the league a little bit and other guys around the league, I think Jed thought it was going to be a lot easier right away. And it kind of hit him a little bit. And he realized, hey, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it was. But now you're seeing an evolution, I think. Because let's face it, he didn't exactly have the greatest weapons in the world when Blackman wasn't there, and now he's
still
not there. And he does, yeah, right, he doesn't. But I think he's getting a little more creative, a little more daring, and a little more aggressive.
Well,
and
that's
from the head coach. Right. You said after the game yesterday, we don't want to be safe. We don't want to be normal.
And I think Jed is understanding who he has and what guys can do, and as any good coach does, he coaches to their strengths, and he puts them in positions to win.
All right, when we come back, I want to throw this out there because it was asked of Chad Henne today. You guys were once the joke in this season. Everybody pointed to you and laughed. Henne had a very poignant comment about that. We'll continue our discussion of the Jaguars' need to win at home, and they get the Texans twice in 11 days. You're listening to Jaguars Monday. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Well, tonight at 7 on CBS 47, Jeff Loggeman and Brent Martineau have Jaguars All Access. Since the team is practicing now, Cecil Shorts and Jed Fish will both step into our studio down the hallway and jump on with Jeff and Brent. It is tonight at 7 on CBS 47, Jaguars All Access. All right, so today in the locker room, and I should lead into this saying, you know, the last couple of weeks, the Jaguars win in Tennessee, and the word from the locker room in Nashville was embarrassed. The word in the news media was the lowly Jaguars. And at that point, they were an 0-8. That fit. So, you know, then they go and they beat the Texans, and it's the same thing. And then yesterday they beat the Browns. It's the same thing. Lowly, embarrassing. How can you lose to them? The lowest of lows. So today in the locker room, Chad Henne was asked, you know, you guys had been a joke.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, really didn't pay attention to it anyway. We just kind of stuck in our own group and, you know, believed in what we believe in. And Gus has kind of set our message out that we're just a team that's just trying to get better each and every day, each and every week. Shows a lot of character. I mean, you know, from top down, from Gus to the players, you know, to the leadership in this room, to the rookies that stepped up and have been playing very well.
So I guess, you know, the question is, from this point forward, is it still an embarrassment? Is it still lowly if the Jaguars beat you?
Who cares? I'm with Chad. I'm with Gus. Who cares? listen, just beat their rear ends. Who cares what they say? Guess what, Tennessee? Well, we beat you. And guess what? We're going to beat you again.
I think the perception.
Hey, Houston, we beat you, and we plan on beating you again, and we beat you, Cleveland.
All right.
So we really don't care.
How many wins
care.
Are they going to get, Tony? You got them.
The point. I've said all along. I think they win four. They'll end up with four or five wins.
I think the point though is
they're going to win.
The perception now. You wrote it this morning. Peter King had a comment in his Monday Morning Quarterback column this morning. I think the perception, and it hasn't changed dramatically, obviously, because they're still 3-9. But the perception out there of what Gus is doing here is starting to change, starting to turn a little bit.
See, I never doubted it. Because
well, you see
had,
it.
Here. But even if they had gone 0-16, to me, it wasn't about this year. It never was. It was about improvement and young players getting better. And that was happening anyways. Even if they go 0-16, the young players getting better is what the important thing is here is for going forward. It's not about this year. What they get this year is gravy. It's maybe not even be about next year. It's 2015. In 2015, they better be ready to compete for a division title.
Well, and let's be clear about the young players. It's just not about the draft picks. And the draft picks are getting better. But it's the guys like Will Rackley, who, again, played well this week. He played well last week. He got better this week.
You bet.
He started to
Andre
do things.
Andre Branch.
He started to do things. Andre Branch.
Pazdor.
Austin Pazdor. Doing things. Okay. Before this year, you thought you had Luke. You didn't know who your right tackle was. That you thought that's a guy we got to go get. In free agency or the draft. I don't think you need a tackle now. You have Pazdor, Luke, and you have your swing guy in Cam. I mean,
you would know better than anybody from watching all the tape. I watched the tape too. It's funny perception around the league. PFF, we
Pro
know who they
football
focus grades players on a regular basis. Okay, last week they gave, and I just wanted to look and see what they gave them because I know you touted them. I went back and rewatched, and I told you that the first play was terrible.
Yeah.
But he had a good game. I went back and rewatched it and graded myself in my head. Saw their grade. They had a minus grade.
Who are we talking about? Just to clear
up. Pro football.
Rackley.
Will Pro Rackley. Football focus.
Last week they have a minus grade in that game.
Who grades them?
That's what I want to know. what eyes are grading them?
My question is, I would have an offensive line grade them and understand the situation, understand what a team's trying to do, and understand who you're playing. I mean, that's all goes into a grade.
But he was from a minus grade.
I didn't think so. Played good enough to win against a guy like J.J. Watt, who's a handful and is a beast. Thought he did fine.
You know what's funny though, and you'll know. This is like when you watch Rackley, sometimes he, and I don't know if this is just timing or whatever, maybe they're just this is something that's coming for young guys like that. When they pull Tony, they get out, and sometimes they don't know who to block.
Well, listen, that's one of the hardest things to do, especially what you're looking at is the power. This team likes to run some power.
Right.
And the power, the backside guard is going to pull around, and he's trying to either go inside or outside, typically inside the fullback who's kicking out the end of the line of scrimmage, off the tackle and guard's double team. And there's a lot of trash you're trying to work up to that linebacker, and you have to wade through a lot of trash, and it hasn't always been clean because the guys up front, on the front side, haven't always done a great job. And so he's bouncing around trying to get up there to that linebacker. And the power is a play that the more you run it, the better you get in the timing. It doesn't always have to be clean because there's so much clutter in that guard, and just get a piece, that back can go right by.
But it's timing. It's like the 49ers run a lot of that.
And
they're good at it.
And they do better at it.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so it looks to me like they're getting better.
But watch their guards, Pete. It's not always clean.
No.
They're bouncing around. Right. You know, they're just trying to work their way up. Offensive line is not a clean game all the time. It's messy in there. You have to fight. And that's why I always love sometimes these grades and stuff and how people grade out.
For example, when the left guard pulls, if the center's getting pushed back into him, he can't get out. That's not a minus for that guy.
No.
He can't get out, and somebody would probably give him a minus. So it's hard. It's hard to grade offensive line. It's hard to grade everybody.
Absolutely.
To give him a full grade,
unless you are sitting in there with the coaches, watching the game plan and understanding what they're asked to do, it's very difficult.
Now you can watch an entire body of work and say, okay, that left guard had a crappy game, but you can't give him a grade. You can.
I mean.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
You do it every week.
I do. I mean, because I have an idea of what they're trying to do. I know this team. I spend time.
But you could also say if a safety's playing had a bad game.
Because I have an idea what they're trying to do on defense.
You know, the game I'm excited to see him, you know, from a matchup perspective, when we see the Titans in a couple of weeks, because he didn't play against Jarrell Casey the last time. He was inactive with a concussion, and Casey was dominant. Yes, he's dominant yesterday in the Colts game. So if you want to judge a guy getting better, let's see how he does against against Casey.
He's a very good,
and Casey is
very good. Three
very
love
good.
Casey. He was on my better than team coming out of school. I got that one.
That's
right.
My
too.
SC guy.
Yeah, he is an SC guy.
All right, folks.
Got a new coach at SC.
The bottom of the hour. Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that one yet. Bottom of the hour news is next. By the way, Bueller Swiss Watch Company is the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get your Bueller Swiss at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today, a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We're back in the HenneneyAutos.com studio with 90 more minutes of Jaguars Monday.
I got so much to say.
Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli are here. You could join us, 355-NFL1. Should we grab a phone call? Because
well, before we do, I got something to say.
Held through the break.
Happy thing. Did everyone enjoy Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, I was home for Thanksgiving. It was nice.
I ate so much food.
Did you?
It was so awesome. Did you see the tweet that was out, that Brian put out?
I didn't tweet it. No, I took
Brian
a picture,
Robinson.
But I did not tweet it.
What was it?
Me
I
eating
had
a whole pecan pie on
the
plane. I ate three quarters of it.
You want to see the picture?
Yeah, I want to see it.
I'll just tell you this.
Not.
Oh, Lagerman, so Lagerman told me.
Lagerman's wife, Bobby.
And Misty, she can really bake.
She's a really good baker.
Lagerman told me that he put 8 plates, napkins, and forks into the bag with the pie, handed it to Buscelli, and said there's knives and forks, and he said, I'm not sharing this. This is mine.
I ate 3 quarters of it.
How much pie did you eat on the actual Thanksgiving?
Oh, probably a whole pie. Almost.
There he is, right there. And here's the amazing part, was that pie went everywhere Tony did until Sunday. It actually made he carried it with him everywhere he went.
Did
he brought it to the stadium.
So you ended up eating the whole thing.
No, I actually threw like the last like piece and a half away. Because I offered it to a couple people, no one wanted
it. Oh, yeah, after you lick the top of it, so no one else wants it.
My point was, I couldn't eat anymore. I was literally going to get like diabetes on the spot.
You know what it is?
I was in trouble. I was going to a dangerous place.
Right.
Blood sugar was very high.
You know what it is? It's getting colder. It's that hibernation time. It's fat ball season. That's what I call it every year.
I'm playing well.
You gain. How much weight do you think you gained?
I don't know during the season, but I'll say this from Thanksgiving till
Christmas.
No, till last night. I bet you I've consumed 30,000 calories.
Oh my goodness.
Huge. Yeah, but for a big guy like you, that's actually not that much.
If you ever can make it to a road game where the Jaguars are,
I don't
see
much.
Especially Buffalo when we get to the Anchor Bar and
love
the pizza
that place.
And the beef on whack and the wings and the fries
and
they're all there. It is awesome
fly there right now if they'd let me.
I like man beef on whack. Compete.
I love the Anchor Bar.
I like that salty bun.
Oh, so good.
I would love to see you in that Nathan's hot dog eating contest at the 4th of July.
No, I couldn't do it. Hot dogs? No good.
But what, really? When you go to the Anchor Bar, what do you do? Chow down on the wings?
Wings, pizza, and beef on
pizza?
Wick. Oh, the pizza's all
the pizza
standing there.
Is it really?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'm getting hungry. Thinking about it.
And you can't go upstairs and get the first of your 2 dinners tonight because it's not ready yet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Brian in Ponte Vedra Beach.
We lost one of the callers.
Yeah, He hung through the break.
Should have stayed longer.
Our phone calls this evening are brought to you by PRI Productions. Brian, what's going on tonight?
Hey there, guys. I'll tell you what. This last game, this weekend, was great. And Tony Buscelli, my hat's off to you. You called the game really great with Brian Sexton. But
thank
the
you
thing
very
that
much.
Really,
that makes me feel
really
good.
Threw me off the loop was when Whedon threw that that touchdown pass, and there was – I only have a 52-inch screen, all right, but I saw 6 Jaguars in the red zone.
Which one? The 95-yarder?
The last touchdown pass that they attempted.
You're talking about when they defended the Hail Mary.
Exactly.
He's saying there were only 6 Jaguars back in the red zone. So 5 guys didn't make it.
Well, 3 were rushing, and 2 linebackers played the underneath.
I hate that.
There's only so many guys.
But I hate that. Why do they do that? Why do the linebackers hang out in Nowhereville?
Well, because I think the concern is, and it happened in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so if you get too much depth and then they put it back underneath and they get some speed going and they get the pitch things going, you don't have that many people to cover that. You have to have somebody to at least slow down the guy if they go underneath. That's the reason.
Maybe one.
No, listen. If you have 6 guys back there, they only have 4. I mean, how many more guys you want? I mean, I mean, there's only so much space in the scrum. I think actually more guys cause more problems because you have more hands balls bouncing around.
I hate when teams put the star wide receiver back there to bat the ball down.
Yeah, just put the DBs down.
It's too dangerous. Yeah.
They didn't. Jaguars obviously didn't do that.
It's too risky.
Brzezinski did a good job going up
and knocking it down. And knocking it down, not trying to intercept
Smitty's put Julio Jones back there in the past. I just think it's too dangerous. You come down on a bad awkward angle after jumping up.
You're not used to it.
Since we're talking about receivers, you know, the Jaguars saw Michael Floyd, first-round pick, but a guy who had not come out like that, you know, the 91-yard touchdown a few weeks ago. And then yesterday, obviously, Josh Gordon, who's a guy that lot of people haven't seen because he's been playing in Cleveland. Well, you know him now.
If he didn't have the off-the-field issues,
he would have been a first-round pick.
Well, in every team in the NFL besides Detroit, Cincinnati, and Atlanta, when Julio's healthy, would trade a first-round pick for him.
Tremendous.
He's a beast.
Tremendous.
And the stupidity.
He's 6'3", 225, and his world-class speed.
The stupidity of it all was that they were actually talking about and considering trading him.
Yeah. I heard the reason they didn't, because they didn't get anything higher than a fifth-round pick.
Which is, I mean, why would you trade that guy?
Do you know?
Well, I mean, he's one strike away from
being
that. Well, I agree.
When the Jaguars went up 25-21, we made the comment during the broadcast, now you got to watch out for Josh Gordon. I mean, he can make it all good. And they had him pinned deep. They can make it go away in a heartbeat. And the very next play.
Well, Winston guy tried to make.
You're right.
And I go, but
he ran away from some defensive backs like they were standing still.
Oh, now listen, he made a great play. Excuse me. I agree with you, Pete. I'm not going to say it's a bad play. He tried to make a big play.
Right.
He tried to go for the home run. And if he picks it, it might be a pick six because all his momentum and he has a sideline. And as I said on the radio booth, I'm not going to kill Winston guy for that. Because if he makes the play, we're all cheering and saying that's the way.
But that situation, though, Tony, you can't go for that play.
I understand, but here's the problem, Pete. Winston guy's coming up. If Sip takes a better angle, I think, and really, Grotz is back there. One of those two's got to make a play. You got to come up and make a play.
Yeah, but in that situation, he's got to bat the ball down or tackle the guy.
You might be right in that situation. That's the only thing. I'm not saying it was but I'm not going to kill the kid for trying to make a play. Yes, in a perfect world, you understand the situation. You say, listen, we got to keep everything in front of us, come up and make a play. But listen, he broke on it. He read it. He thought he could intercept it. He was a fraction of a second away. I'm not going to kill the guy for trying to do it.
I guess the point I wanted to make, besides the fact that he had 261 receiving yards, which is the most in Browns history, back-to-back 200-yard games. Yesterday, Alshon Jeffrey for Chicago goes for 249 in a loss, as it turns out. Oh, Calvin Johnson's been over 300 this year. I mean, there are some receivers out there that can really damage a defense in huge chunks like there never have been in the NFL.
It used to be the four-pronged approach to winning was quarterback, guy who protects the quarterback, guy who knocks the quarterback down, and the guy who knocks the quarterback's passes down.
It's five-pronged
now. Five-pronged.
You got to have a receiver.
Got to have a big play receiver. Have to. It's imperative the way the game is played that you have to have that guy. And those teams have that guy. Problem with Cleveland is they don't have the guy to give the ball to him.
Right.
Does New England have that guy, though? You could argue that Gronk's that guy.
Right.
Gronk
is
amazing.
Hey, Tony, there was a play late in the game, and I saw this on the – I haven't watched the tape yet, but on the TV tape, where Gordon – they let Gordon get behind him again, and it looked to me like they pressed Cyprian, and the corner thought Cyprian was supposed to come over, but they were –
He was on the Jaguars sideline. Yeah,
and he was being pressed by another receiver in the middle of the field.
Was that the one where he dropped
– Yeah, he went through his hand.
Yeah.
About the 40-yard line in Jaguars territory right in front of the bench.
About 20-something, maybe.
Late in the game.
Yeah.
It was actually – the ball was thrown out of bounds. It was a bad throw by Whedon.
Right.
It led him out of bounds.
But
So it was cover two. If I remember the play.
And they ran two verticals on that side.
It's cover two. It puts the safety in a bind.
Right. He's got to make a decision.
And you're trying to find the soft spot in the cover two. That's the soft spot of the cover two. Now, in that situation, I'm not a defensive back coach and not a D coordinator. My guess is you'd like that corner to carry him even farther.
Right.
And give up the underneath stuff.
You know when that happened once before in the history of this team? You probably remember it. Doug Flutie.
1998.
Ran four verticals against your cover two and split them down, hit them down the field.
I remember the four verticals against Baltimore when Shannon Sharpe was getting thrown the ball like it was going out of style by Tony Banks.
It was the 97 game up there in Buffalo.
Remember?
Before we finished the season.
They won the
open.
Game on that play,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, and then he ran around
and got away from
Don't
Kevin.
Don't get me started.
All right, well, you can visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. When we come back, we'll talk about the Texans twice in 11 days. You're listening to Jaguars Monday from the HannityAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
It's tough, and you know, Gus said, you know, he's going to take care of us, and you know, he can say he can take care of us, but we have to take care of ourselves. Make sure we're getting, you know, massage therapy, you know, cold tubs, hot tubs, stretching, getting ready to go, and just the mindset. You know, it's a short week, so a lot of the stuff that's, you know, being installed for this game is, you know, obviously we just played them 2 weeks ago, so some things will change, but some things will stay the same. So mentally, it's not too bad.
That's Chad Henne in the locker room today talking about the short week and getting ready to face the Texans for the second time in 11 days. So let's talk about two concepts here in the last 10 minutes before the top of the hour. One is winning at home, which the Jaguars haven't done this year, haven't done since late last year, the 25th of November, when they beat the Titans here. And winning at home, they've got three consecutive home games for the first time in a couple of years. They got a shot here to get the home fans engaged, which they haven't been able to do completely yet.
Well, they're going to win at least one of the three at home. I'll guarantee that right now. It's a lock. Lock it up, Pete.
It's Houston, Tennessee. And
they're going to win one of them. And
Buffalo.
Yeah, I think they might win two. Listen, winning home would be great. I think the players realize, they do realize it. They talk about it. They want to win at home. Gus wants to win at home. They understand that they've played their best football on the road, and they want to show the fans of what they can do.
Well, he said today that they never look ahead. I mean, they are always on point, and they never look forward. But he did say to his team today in the team meeting, you know, here's a chance. There's an opportunity here over the next 3 weeks to really engage the home fans and to give them something to go crazy about.
And listen, it's important. It's important for this fan base.
It's important to show the national TV people and the national out there that
well, I wanted to get that. I'm just talking home right now. Yeah. Just for the home fans, it's important.
Yeah.
Pete brings a whole other topic we can talk about in a second. For the home fans, though, listen, I've had multiple conversations with fans today that were so excited. People were saying, man, that was a fun game. It was enjoyable to watch. It was good. They need to follow that up with a great performance on Thursday night. I hope they win, but just a great performance. Go out there and give this fan base – you know, something to get excited about, because listen, that's part of it. If you want to build a home field advantage, you have to give people a reason to be excited and come and cheer and get a little bit crazy.
Hey, by the way, was Cleveland, it's hard to see on TV.
It was empty.
Right. Empty.
I thought so. And
empty.
Here you have a supposed
it was empty.
Batch of fans that are as diehard as any in the history of the league, and they're not at the game.
Empty.
And this team takes more crap than any team in the league.
Oh, there's more people here than there. I mean, it was empty. Yeah. And I'll say this. Houston was empty.
Yeah. Hey, there are empty seats all around the league.
Right.
This place just became the whipping boy.
And if you win, though?
They show up.
Show
right.
up.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Unless you're in San Diego. And then they'll show up no matter what.
And look, if you're New England, the Giants, the Steelers, the Broncos, there's a handful of teams that have been sold out in perpetuity. Right?
Whoa, back up. That's not true, Brian. The New England Patriots struggled for years filling that
place. I know that.
Then Tom Brady showed up.
Well, they started to do well. They started to do well in the Bill Parcells era.
But it was
a small stadium back then, too, that the Foxborough was.
No doubt.
Right.
But do you doubt that the way that they've built that franchise up there now, that just some hard times, they'd still show up there?
I'm not sure.
I don't think that. You know what's funny? And I say this all the time.
But look at Pittsburgh. Go look at Pittsburgh. A lot of no-shows early in this year when they were losing.
When you watch the All-22 tapes, they always go to the scoreboard and they show the crowd.
Yeah.
And if you go to some of the – I'm talking about the – like Washington. There was nobody there last night. There was a ton of Giants fans.
The tickets
there
are sold.
Well, that's
but people don't show up.
Right. The tickets being sold is a pretty big deal, though.
Oh, I agree. No, but don't give me this that Pittsburgh. I mean, go look at Pittsburgh early in the year when they were 0-4, 2-6.
But you know what I'm saying when I mentioned Pittsburgh and Denver
the
and
legacy,
those places.
You're talking about
those
the legacy
are
the, fans.
And Denver is a different place. No one. I mean, they show up in Denver whether they're good or bad.
Kansas City too.
Oh.
Well, no, yeah, they stopped going really. There, yeah.
No, they, yeah, you know, that's
Packers, the Broncos, right. There's only a few.
And that was my point. There are a few places where you can be really comfortable knowing that your building will fill up, and they're fewer and further between. Dallas has empty seats all over the
place.
What
about Seattle?
Well, that put them in there because
there's not an empty seat.
Yeah,
but they used to.
Yeah, but now they're one. I mean, they're
now they're good.
Well,
that's my point.
And they're I hate to use
and
your
it's
word
a culture.
Again. Yeah, they've built this 12th man thing, and you go walk the streets of downtown Seattle.
They take pride.
And
in it.
Oh man, they're all wearing jerseys. There are a handful of places in this league that have got it, but everyone else has to fight and work at it. Carolina, you know, there's one other
empty.
Team. There's one other team. Now the seats were empty, but the tickets were sold, and they don't get enough credit for it. It's Nashville. They sell all the tickets out there, but their stadium was empty when we were there too.
See, I think they're a lot like here. They win, everybody packs it in. They don't go.
That's how most of the league is now.
Yeah, and then that yeah, there's where we're going with
but,
it.
But in the other part, but here's the other thing about it.
Listen,
tickets are expensive.
It's not like the old days when I mean, I remember when I for growing up, fifth level, Old Mile High Stadium, and I would die if my dad took me one game a year. Because they had him and his brother season tickets, but I got maybe one, maybe two. I remember looking at the ticket stub. You know, this is probably the mid-'80s. $11.
It's a completely different league. You're also forgetting the entertainment factor that people have on their phone.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Now.
It was different. And there was nothing. Listen,
you're competing with so much.
There's no HDTV.
There was nothing else to do. And the TV experience was one of the.
No,
was a
you had one game.
Era.
You had three games.
There was no DirecTV. There was no Red Zone.
Right.
There was no fantasy football.
Right.
I mean, you lived and died for that three-hour period that the Broncos were
so
on.
So your first game ever was the Broncos?
Yeah.
Your first NFL game?
St. Louis Cardinals versus Philadelphia Eagles in 1974.
So it was
at the old Bush Stadium.
Mel Gray and Pat
Roger
Tilly
Worley
and Larry Wilson and
Roger Finney and
Dan
Dierdorf. That was my team.
Conrad Dobler and Tom
I was
Banks
a St. Louis Cardinals diehard.
I'm pretty sure the first game I ever went to was 1983. I was probably 11 years old. Preseason, John Elway's first preseason game against I believe it was the Detroit Lions. I want to say.
I lived
what
in
was yours?
My first NFL game, we were living outside of Philadelphia, and a buddy of my dad's had tickets to the Eagles. We went to the old Franklin Field before the Vet. Joe Green was a rookie for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got so mad on a call, holding call or something. He didn't get a holding call.
Is that the first place you met Vic, by the way?
No, he was probably up in the press box complaining about something. He grabbed a helmet and threw it almost into the crowd, Joe Green, as a rookie. Nobody knew who he was. North Texas, he was a high draft pick, but nobody knew who he was. Mean Joe Green then. And that was my first game. It was the first game I ever went to, one of the only games I ever went to early in my – we could afford to go to games. It was expensive.
And the point that brings us all back here as we get ready to close the first hour is that Jacksonville on Thursday night has a chance to stand up and show
the nation. The fans need to come out
This town does not deserve the derision.
That means the wine and cheese crowd needs to come back out again.
Everybody needs to
come
out.
We know who they are. Yeah, look, for a long time, this was a wine and cheese crowd. It was be seen, oh, it's cool to go to the game. And then they stopped winning. It wasn't chic and trendy anymore.
But
now there's the diehards. They have so many young diehard fans in this town now.
It's
really impressive.
I mean,
but the wine and cheese crowd needs to come back too.
And that's what I've said. I mean, there are like 45,000. Die hard fans here that will come no matter what.
And by the way, that's a number that the Dolphins and Bucks would like to have,
which is amazing because there's been a long time before since this team's been relevant. And a big part of that, I mean, you got groups like the Bold City Brigade. I mean, there is a young fan base. And I'll tell you this, when this thing starts to turn,
it's going to be passion.
And when they see it turn and the way it'll turn under the leadership of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, this will be one of the best places to play.
It's time for the Grey Poupon crowd to come back out again.
They might never come back in full force.
We know who they are, right? We you see them all the time. They were here. When you were winning, they were here. It was cool. It was trendy.
They got the team here. They bought all the club seats.
Well, good. Grey Poupon crowd. That's what I call them.
Don't knock. Those are my guys out in Ponte Vedra.
Yeah, well, they'll come back when they start winning again.
Are you a Grey Poupon guy?
No, but I
think you're a stadium mustard guy.
I am.
He's got mustard. He's like mustard on his shirt guy. What are you talking about?
I live with the wine and cheese people. I'm one of those guys. I go in a lot of different crowds. I blend.
You're a chameleon.
Yeah, that's what we think about.
You can say it that way.
It just depends. If you can sit at a white tablecloth
Absolutely.
Dinner,
I prefer to sit at one.
Or you can sit in the stands.
I like white tablecloth. I like those seven-course meals. I like all that and stuff. But I prefer a little picnic table with some barbecue. So,
I'm not a white tablecloth guy.
No. I know that.
That's foo-foo to me. I call that foo-foo.
Great poupon.
Well, you just have to order like three or four entrees.
It's not my thing.
Now he's learning. He needs to come to dinner with you on
the
road.
He's a rookie. I'll school him.
You break him in. All right, folks, our broadcast tonight brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We step aside for news and then another hour of Jaguars Monday from the HannityAutos.com studio on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannityAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, back for hour number two with Tony Baselli and Pete Prisco. Our big three tonight, back-to-back, the Jaguars consecutive wins for the first time in three seasons and, of course, have won three of their last four. Win at home, the Jaguars take on the Texans on Thursday night. And our third story we didn't get to in the first hour, so we'll touch on it here. The Texans twice, short week of practice to get ready. And Gus said earlier today at his news conference, it would be a unique week of practice. They wouldn't wear shoulder pads. It would just be helmets. Today and on Wednesday, the offense and defense would work against each other. And then tomorrow, they'd have a semblance of a normal practice.
Well, as we talk about, it's unique in the sense that they're going to play the Texans in 11 days. I mean, that is – I don't know how many times that's been done.
Neither do I.
I played in one Thursday night game. We played the Ravens in a very, very physical
1999, game. You played against the Steelers too.
No, we played – I was telling – let me finish the story. Don't cut me off. I mean, come on. I know you think you're in charge of the show, but
– I'm sitting in this chair.
Turn off his mic again, Joe. Okay. The –
he didn't do it, by the way.
I know. We played the Ravens on a Sunday in a very, very physical game in 99.
15-10.
And then had the Steelers on a Thursday night. And Pete, this has become a story. You know?
No, I'm sorry. It was 6-3.
And you have – no, it wasn't. It was 50, it was. We won that game in Baltimore.
Yeah, 6-3. That was that tough physical game. The 15-10 game was the next year.
Okay, whatever the score was. It was a close game. The players with this whole player safety stuff, and you've heard the media, and I think, you know, all these know-it-alls say, well, if the commissioner and the league really care about player safety, they wouldn't play games on Thursday nights. I don't get that. Listen, is it different? Yes. The way I looked at it, you had a short, you didn't really do much in practice. You had to be smart. You had to get your body up. You're not going to feel great on Thursday night. But I didn't mind it because – go out and play Thursday night, national TV.
Then you got 10
days
off.
Baby, I got the weekend off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doing it once a year, too. I mean, it's not the end of the world. These people act like, oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
You got to play Thursday night. And if I was the coach of the team, I'd be like, listen, guys, we're playing Thursday night. We're going to change it up. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. And I remember Tom saying, listen, guys, hang in there. I'll take care of you. Give me your focus. Give me your attention. These couple days of preparation, I'll take care of you. And you're going to have a whole weekend off. And I'm like, okay. What? And listen, Thursday night, was my legs feeling like they were on Sunday? No. But neither was the other guys.
Right.
It's not the, I mean, we act like this is like.
Well, the quality of
so
play.
So dangerous. Oh, my
well,
gosh.
The quality of play isn't
is
as
so
good.
Dangerous.
So, the quality of play isn't as good on Thursday.
No. But it's still.
Right.
Let me ask you as a fan. Would you rather have a Thursday night NFL or no
yes.
Thursday night?
Yes,
I'll take 85% Thursday night football and no. The none. And so I think it's much to do about nothing.
Twitter world.
It's ridiculous.
The same with Mike Tomlin walking on the field, right?
These people are crazy.
That happened here. Bill Cowher was on there.
Well, he almost punched him. These people are crazy. The league doesn't care. It's all about money. Yeah, guess what? Guess who gets the money, too? The players.
What year was the 6-3 game?
No, you're wrong, Brian. It's not.
99. They won twice. You won one game 6-3. And then you won a game up there where Tony Brackens had the interception.
I'm pretty sure that was 98 we did the Thursday night game.
No, the first Thursday night game the Jaguars ever played was 99 against Pittsburgh.
I don't remember this, but I would imagine if I look back, my lead from the 6-3 game was in a game that set football back 25 years.
6-3 was here. It was 6-3 game was here. We played 15-10 was in Baltimore.
No, it wasn't 15-10. It was 30-23. The 6-3 game
was here.
Was November 14th
right.
Here. and then you played New Orleans here, and then you went to Baltimore. So you played Baltimore twice in 3 weeks, and then
and
you
Thursday
and then Thursday against Pittsburgh. So it was 30-23.
The next year was a 15th game we lost.
Yeah, with five field goals.
And then we lost.
Yes, they were on their run without five games without a touchdown.
Oh, the Ravens. Ravens. Yeah. And that the aberration game that year was they gave up the least amount of points ever in a 16-game season, and
you guys scored
36 against them.
And we lost.
39,
Tony
36.
Banks. I go back to that game. How do we give Tony Banks five touchdown passes?
Jimmy.
Come on, defense.
Jimmy Smith had 291 yards and three
unbelievable.
Touchdowns. Yeah.
He was unreal that day.
No, we couldn't cover Shannon Sharp down this.
Donovan Darius had the ball in his hands.
I mean, just cover him. Catch it.
He had an interception to win that game.
Going down memory lane.
I can't go there.
But the 6-3 game, Tony, was horrible.
Your whole point is it's not a big deal.
Listen, is it different? Yes, but it's not the end of the world.
Okay, so here's what everyone.
As a player, listen, it's going to change your schedule. Chad said it best. You got to be smart with your body. You got to prepare. You got to be mentally ready. That's it. And guess what? The coach is smart. He's going to take care of it. You know you can't go out there. I thought back then, now it's different now because they don't hit much anyways. But I was like, this is pretty cool. We're not going to hit this week. Tom can't put the pads on. So, you relax.
Here's what everyone listening wants to know. How much of an advantage is it to play at home on a Thursday night as opposed to go on the road?
I think it's a huge advantage, but I can only say that by just thinking, I guess, common sense. I never played on the road on a Thursday night. So,
And this team's only done it once.
It's a short week and a shorter week if you travel. So that
I would think that's what I'm saying.
It makes it tougher.
And the Texans have been home a couple of weeks in a row.
I think it would be tougher. But even then, though, come on, it's mental. If you mentally make it a big deal and you build it up as a big deal and you tell yourself I'm going to be tired and I'm going to tell yourself I'm not going to be ready and I'm going to tell myself I'm going to be sore, guess what? You won't be ready. You'll be tired and you'll be sore. If you take the mentality, all right, I'm playing Thursday night, change my preparation a little bit, I'm going to take care of myself. Look at it as, hey, I gotta get on. I'd rather play games and practice anyways. That's how I said that all the time. I hated practice. Let me play. Well, I don't have to practice much. Right. And guess what? I get the whole weekend off. I'm gonna go ball.
Right.
It's better. It's all upstairs. It's what you make of it. And I get so tired. Listen, I'm all for player safety. All for player safety. But let's not make everything. And I hear these. Oh, it's just nauseating. It's your people, Pete.
Not my. You're a member of the media. I hate to tell you, you're a member of the media too.
Yes, my people on both sides, players and media.
Right. I
can't even jump in one
anything
camp.
Anything that goes wrong now, it's all blame the game.
Player safety.
Blame the game.
By the way,
here's the difference, by the way, from 2 weeks ago when they played them. Andre Johnson had 121 yards against the Patriots yesterday, and Ben Tate had 102 yards and ran for three touchdowns. So they got some things
Patriots
going.
The Patriots are awful against the run.
Patriots are bad against the run.
Yeah, they're not. They have one guy. But they literally have like one player on
Keenum
the front
looked
seven.
Better. Keenum looked
Chandler
better.
Jones.
Keenum looked better yesterday.
Oh, that's fine. He'll make mistakes. Force him to mistakes.
Yeah, 15 of 30 for 272. Yeah,
50%. That's great.
But he threw ran for a touchdown
he made some
also.
Good throws down the field, though.
If you take away the run, they can't beat you. They can't beat you in that offense.
That's why they're going to be drafted first.
Can the Jags stop Tate?
Yeah, they did last time.
Yeah, it was amazing what they did last time. Seven carries, only 1 yard.
Yeah, why not?
He did nothing.
I believe they can. Playing good football
now. They're
confident.
The question with that team is this.
You got to block J.J. Watt.
Will this be the last time Gary Kubiak coaches the Houston Texans here at the stadium?
I said no 2 weeks ago, but I am now thinking that he's going
to
be fired.
I am too. Almost has to be, right? This is a Super Bowl.
Lost
they lost 10 in a
row.
If they lose to Jacksonville on Thursday night, it'll be 11 in a row.
If they go from a Super Bowl contender to picking first, that doesn't happen often.
They have to play Denver still. And they're losing that one.
And Indy one more time.
They're going to lose that one.
He's gone, right? He has to be.
They have a brutal schedule to finish.
They're going
to
win maybe three.
He's got to be gone.
You know, I brought that up to Mark Vandermeer, who's their play-by-play guy, and he says, not so fast. He said in 2010 they were rushing him out the door also, and Bob McNair sat on it. Went and got Wade Phillips, and then they had their two best seasons. He said, I'm not so sure that if they don't win a game the rest of the year, that McNair won't look to do something similar.
Who are they going to get?
Well, in terms of what? As another coach?
Yeah.
An offensive coordinator.
So they're going to take the coordinator play calling away from him?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this. Lagerman, for the last couple of years, has really admired Kubiak's ability to get things done by formation. He has said over and over that as a game day strategic play calling kind of coach. He thinks Kubiak is about as good as there is in the NFL.
Well, they're fantastic. They're the best in the league at getting you go one way and throwing back the other, or scheming you that way.
Well, but you remember when Shanahan was running everything in right. with Elway, and boy, they could get matchups by personnel grouping like very few other teams could. And Jeff's point was is that Kubiak does that very, very well.
Well, the run game, everything they do in their passing game is keyed off of that run. Yeah.
Well, then Arian obviously is gone.
See, but here's the thing. What you described is a good offensive coordinator. And I think I like Gary Kubiak. He might be the nicest coach in the National Football League, right? He's one of them. The guy's a class act. But you described an offensive coordinator. For years, and this is just me, I when I go there, I see Gary's a very easygoing, calm, likable guy. You don't see fire.
Like me.
You don't see fire. You're outrageously on the other side, by the way. You don't see fire in the belly.
That hurts, Pete.
You know what I mean? Fire. And not that every coach needs to have fire in the belly, but when I look at that team, you should be feeding off of J.J. Watt, what he does. I mean, that guy has, you know, he foams at the mouth on Sundays.
He's pretty good.
But shouldn't everybody else around him be that same guy? If you have him, you have Cushing, and Cushing's not there now. Him, Cushing.
Antonio Smith, who said the Patriots cheated.
Cheated. They cheated.
That's so funny.
I love Antonio Smith. He's one of my favorite guys in the league. But
he's nuts.
But they lack edge rushers. They don't have any.
They lack a lot of talent. Listen, the right side of the offensive line is no good.
Bad.
Their outside pass rushers are no good. Besides, Swearinger is going to be a good safety.
He's going to be good.
He's young.
Ed Reed was horrible when he was there.
Oh, atrocious.
Joseph
the other safety's
Jackson
no good.
Will be good when they're both pretty good.
But Jackson was hurt when
played.
He played yesterday.
Right. So he played. They'll be better.
Offensive line, Myers is good in the scheme. The left guard.
Wade Smith is old.
Old.
Getting old.
Dwayne Brown's good but he didn't play as well this year. The tight ends, they're like a combination
average.
Of everybody. They're average. All the same guy, right?
Yeah.
They're
everybody. Well,
they all look
is,
they all look the same. Right. Every one of them. Graham, him, they all look the same. And then the running game has been bad because the right side
they
of
have
the
no quarterback, Pete.
Yep.
Go back to let's start with your that's your topic.
Right.
They don't have a quarterback, you can't play. They don't have a quarterback.
Speaking of guy who's soft, I always thought Matt Schaub was soft. I always thought you look at Matt Schaub and quarterbacks aren't considered tough guys, but you can look at a guy and look at him and say, he's tough, he's not. Matt Schaub is not tough. Aaron Rodgers plays tough. Look at him. You can see it.
All right, so what's the turnaround time for the Texans? Because Andre Johnson's in his 11th season, and he's not always been healthy, right? I mean, he's had hamstring and knee issues, and he's 11 years in now.
I think DeAndre Hopkins would be a good player.
I do, too. But, you know, his problem was he runs the wrong route all the time, and they had to bench him.
Yeah, he's not Andre, obviously.
But he's going to be – it'd be a nice compliment.
You don't
year.
Have a quarterback.
That's where they got to
do. And – Arian Foster's coming off back surgery. That's got to be.
And Tate's an unrestricted free
agent. Yeah, so all of a sudden now it looks like you've got major issues on the offensive side of the ball.
What happened to Dennis Johnson? I'm looking at the depth chart. Is he gone already?
No, he's there.
That's him. Oh, there he is. Sorry.
Then they're going to have to draft. They're going to have the first pick of the draft. They'll draft Teddy Bridgewater, you would think.
Yeah, I think they take a quarterback.
Right, you have to.
You like their GM?
Rick Smith?
I do like him, although he lost a bet to me because I told him right to his face in March. I said, Ed Reed's going to stink. You're going to regret that. He goes, we'll see. I saw him in the summer. I go, he was on the practice field. I go, looks like I'm going to be right on that one, huh, Rick? He goes, well, we'll see. Well, the next time I see him, I'm going to say, I was right about that one, wasn't I, Rick?
What does he owe you?
I forget what we bet, a burger or something. Not very good. Ed Reed was terrible. But I think Rick Smith has done some good things, but I also think he's done some bad things. I mean, they drafted that kid Montgomery out of LSU, okay? The book on Sam Montgomery was, might have first-round talent. At least 8 to 10 general managers told me he was the craziest guy they've ever sat down with in their entire existence at the combine.
Why did he get kicked out? Why did he get kicked off the team finally? What was the real word?
I think there was something to do with drinking in the hotel room with a few girls caught. And I don't know for sure, but that's what you hear. But forget about all that. Just certifiably scared of him. Guys in this league, we're scared of them. That's how, Tony, there's been a lot of nut jobs that come through the combine to a man. Every GM I talked to said that this guy was the worst of all of them. They would have drafted him. His agent fired him before the draft. An agent firing a potential first-round pick before the draft? When's that ever happened?
And he's not on their team now.
No, he's not on any team.
All right, so back to the question. How long for them to retool? If they're going from Super Bowl contender to the first overall
pick. Depends if they find the quarterback. If they get a quarterback, they got plenty of talent.
Well, and the other thing that you have to factor in is they've been a team that's been up against the cap, and they gave big deals to Foster, who's obviously on injured reserve, along with Cushing, who's on injured reserve. Schaub's a guy they can let go and save $4 or $5 million. And I understand the cap, there's all kinds of gyrations, even though it's, you know, pretty flat here for the next year or two. You know, can they turn this thing around quickly and get it done? Well, get back to where they were. And remember, the other thing is they got to pay J.J. Watt
at
some point.
They're going to. They're going to pay whatever he wants.
That's going to be as much money as he wants.
If the quarterback they draft is a franchise quarterback, yes, it can happen quickly.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's not exactly a murderer's row of the division either.
And Brian Cushing's going to come back. He'll be fine. J.J. Watt.
Well, I mean, now you're talking about a guy's coming off his second knee injury.
No, it was an LCL.
It was an ACL though.
Pete.
But
and
still, another
bone.
Major knee injury.
Cost him a season. Yeah, but because of the broken bone. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a defense. J.J. Watt, Antonio Smith. He's gonna be good for a few
more years.
Up
in the years.
Yeah, he's
now.
9 years, but he's still. I mean, he's a tough guy.
Right. The nose tackle hasn't played like they.
He's
hoped.
Average. Joe Mays is average.
If you're being kind.
Okay.
Brooks Reed stinks.
Yeah.
Merciless hasn't lived up to their
expectations.
No,
you need an outside rusher.
They've got three players on defense to build around.
Joseph?
No.
Watt, Smith, four. Cushing and Joseph.
And Jackson.
And
think so?
And DJ, oh, I think Jackson played last year. He was really good.
He was
good.
Very good. All DJ right. Swearinger is going to be a good
player.
He's
going to be good. You got a couple.
I haven't heard that. Oh, by the way, I have not heard that. I've heard from some people that he's not that good.
Well, he's still – you know what he's in right now? He should have been playing all first part of the season. But he wasn't. So he's in, take Cyprian's first part of the season,
right,
where his head is spinning. He's in that.
I've heard he's not in Cyprian's class.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, they got some guys they can, look, I mean, they've got guys they can build around. The question is, can they do it quickly and not miss their window with a bunch of guys? Because, you know, when it goes, it goes. What if Antonio Smith only has one more year left?
Well, I mean,
who knows?
You have J.J. Watt.
Agreed.
I mean, here's the
but
thing.
You know what? J.J. Watt hasn't saved them from a 10-game losing streak.
Well, they don't have a quarterback.
Shiloh Keough should not be on the field.
Maybe they don't.
Shiloh Keough is a special teams player. Shouldn't be on the field. Should not be on the field. Joe May shouldn't be on the team. Sharpton's not any good. Brooks Reed stinks. It's just, I mean, defensively, there's a lot of holes on there that J.J. Watt helps cover up, by the way.
Well, yeah, but here's what I'm saying, Tony. Say they go grab a quarterback with the number one overall pick, and you guys have both said that you don't think that the quarterbacks at the top are necessarily franchise guys. And by the way, I've heard Teddy Bridgewater, from a grading perspective, kind of fits there with Tannehill down in Miami. You know, guy with a top 10 grade, but isn't necessarily Andrew Luck or RG3.
Right.
So if that's the case, no matter whether you have J.J. Watt or not, if you don't hit on the quarterback, and we all know how hard it is to hit on the first round of a quarterback, it'll take them a long time.
Yeah, but Brian, but here's the thing. You're saying that...
I'm not saying anything, I'm asking.
No, you're saying that there's not a franchise quarterback out there. What if...
No, I said you guys said that there's not a franchise quarterback.
No, we don't know yet.
No, we don't know. We're saying there's not that one guy that you have to be the first pick
for. To me, there doesn't look
like that's what you said.
One.
That's what I said. You said.
No, that's what I said. No, you
that's
said
what I said, you said
there was no franchise quarterback.
No, I said you guys weren't hot on the quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
You are now not being honest.
No, I'll say this.
Talking about?
As of right now,
you're just pointing fingers and gesticulating wildly, hoping to talk loud enough to make everybody believe you.
Right. You can point at me all you want. I don't think there's right now there's not a to me there's not that guy at the top of the draft.
Right. And that's what
there could be by May. You got to do the evaluation.
Yeah.
There's
a long way to go before the draft.
There could be by August. Meaning you might pick a guy in the middle of the first round that becomes the guy. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was a 11th pick or ninth or tenth pick, whatever it was.
Right after the Jags picked.
My point is, he became probably the fifth best quarterback in the league.
11th pick.
11th pick.
Or maybe you draft one in the sixth round. Get lucky.
That's my point. Or the third round with a Russell Wilson. My point is, you don't know.
Right.
What I said earlier, Andrew Luck is not in this draft.
And that's my point. That's what I said, you said. And right. So when I ask about where the Texans go from here, what's their window? And I was really looking at you because of the salary cap issues and where this team is. I'll ask it again. Have they missed their turn with injury to Foster? Schaub is no longer able to be that guy,
that
trigger guy.
Did they miss their turn? They missed their turn, and it didn't stay long because they didn't have the quarterback.
All right. And with that, we will take a break.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, guess what? We have the Copy Facts Face-Off coming, and you guys can find about that among other things. You're listening to, what is this show? Oh, Jaguars Monday from the HenleyAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, fans, hope it helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you need you'll find when you stop by Gate today. today. All right, gentlemen, time for the Copy Facts face-off, and I use the term gentleman loosely because this is about to get ugly.
What are we talking about,
in this
Brian?
Corner, claiming undefeated status.
Champion of the world!
The number one pie-eating freak on the airplane.
Freak.
You know what it is?
Oh, that hurts.
I'm sorry.
Freak.
You are a pie-eating phenomenon.
That's
how's that?
Better. Thank you.
Sorry.
He just announced that he's the champion of the world. Yeah, Tony Baselli's world.
Now, across the table from me, also claiming
only
undefeated status. I think Angie Baselli's world probably matters a little bit more. Across
not
the
right
table,
now.
Also claiming undefeated championship status.
No, I've had a loss. I'd admit I had one loss. No, I can't remember what
an incredible display of humility.
He
wrote an article today admitting that I was right.
No, I didn't. You won't admit you ever lose, and you've been beaten.
I've never been beaten,
like,
ever.
I'm an elite right. pass rusher going around.
Well,
you
this
over
is my
again.
Favorite segment.
I was
just get out
good
of the way.
The elite pass rushers, Pete.
So
you were pretty good against.
All right, so there's too much agreement in this segment. Stop. It's about the officials. Go.
Last night at the end of the game, it was a horrible, horrible display of officiating again. And what it was is they said they had a first down. Then they told the coaches they had a first down, but it was really third down. So it changes your play call. It was third and one instead of a first down. So
well, we agree on this part, but say what your whole point is.
My point is, I got to set it up.
They were awful last night. They blew a call at the end of the game
Jeff
that Triplett's affected
a lot of calls.
The Triplett, he's not one of the better ones.
We saw him here against Arizona.
He was awful, I like him. He's a nice guy.
Gus shouldn't have been able to review that play, right?
You're correct.
And they reviewed it anyway.
That from the league office.
Right. Shouldn't have been able to review
it. I agree with you.
Okay.
In that point.
But what I'm saying is all the crap the replacement officials took, and they took a ton. It was just nonstop.
Justified.
It was Twitter mania out of control.
That you usually lead.
No, I was on the other side. In fact, I got put in Twitter jail because I took the other side. I couldn't tweet. It's a true story. The night of the Fail Mary in Green Bay, in Seattle.
Yeah.
I tweeted so much saying that it could happen to any regular official anywhere.
Yeah.
That I got put in Twitter jail for.
By
you
who?
Can't tweet by Twitter. If you tweet too much, they put you in Twitter jail. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. That's how much I tweeted that day. Well, anyway.
Wow.
So. But
you need to get a life.
I was watching the game. I was getting into it. My point on the whole officiating thing is, if you took the replacement officials, and I've talked to people inside the league office, guys that would know, there's 10 to 15 of those replacement officials that should be working in the league right now.
No, but that's not your point.
Point is, if you trained them for six months, you would notice the difference.
I read your tweets. These officials are no different than the replacement officials, and that's where you're wrong. The replacement officials were atrocious.
Last night was atrocious. Why were they atrocious?
They were atrocious because they couldn't control the game.
Okay.
They got pushed around by the players.
I'm not arguing that. They got thrown in there for three games.
They were confused. No. They were out of their league. They were coaching high school football, and now all of a sudden they're on Monday night. They can't even get a catch in the end zone to decide a game.
That's
right.
Why you've never seen the regular officials would have made a bang bang call on that one, right?
They would have got it right at the review. Here's the thing.
Then you're blaming the review official. He's blaming the review official. That was a regular official from the league office.
Pete, you know better than that. The officials on the field are the ones who look in the booth.
You just said that they would get it right. They would get the review right.
Yeah, once they got into the booth.
Right, but that was reviewed. It went upstairs.
No, upstairs sends it down, and then the official on the field decides it. And they were confused.
Tony,
one guy's raising his hands. One guy's incomplete.
Tony, you're an absolute
moron.
10 to 15.
The replacement officials are as good as these officials.
That's not what I said. You're putting words in my mouth.
That's what you said.
You're putting words in my mouth. I'm saying, if I took the replacement officials in the summer and trained them for an entire year.
You could train them for 10 years.
An entire year, and they came back with the same power and authority that the regular officials have, you wouldn't notice the damn difference.
You could train them for 50 years. They didn't even know the rules, Pete.
They don't know the rules either. They can't even flip the down marker right. Why didn't Triplett call timeout and stop the play? They don't know the rules either.
It was a bad mistake.
Why did they review the play here? Why did Gus get to review the fumble here? He shouldn't have been able to review that. They blew it. They blew it just as much as the replacement officials do.
He said it. You hear what I'm saying? Just as much as the replacement. That's where you're wrong, Pete. Go back. They blew the entire game. The whole game was messed up.
The games
were taking 3.5 hours.
That's not the argument.
They couldn't line up.
That's not the argument.
They were marking
up the
wrong penalties. They're putting the ball in
that's
the wrong
the
place.
Mechanism
it
of the
was
game.
Atrocious.
No, that's
yes,
the mechanism.
You're wrong.
And I agree with you. The mechanism and operations of the game is something they would have learned with a year of training. They would have noticed no difference. It would have been any difference if you were watching the game
you're
a
wrong.
Year from now and the replacement officials were trained for a year. You, Tony Boselli, other than the fact that you know who Gene Steratore and Jeff Triplett is and everybody else, you wouldn't notice any difference. None. None whatsoever. And if you kept, here's even better. If you kept those guys as the lead referees, if you kept those guys and then changed the entire crews and put in the replacement crews, you'd notice absolutely no difference because you don't know who the other officials are. You'd notice nothing. They're all the same. Just got to train them. The mechanism, the operations, that was bad. I'll give you that. But the bang bang calls.
You just said the replacement officials made the officials now made the exact
they make
same,
the same
amount.
They
no.
blow calls.
No.
Yes, they do.
Not as many,
how
Pete.
Many, give me, okay, just off the top of your head, you had 3 weeks of replacement officials. Other than the call in Seattle, give me some of the other calls that stand out for you.
When they marked a penalty and they gave the, I can't remember what team was, an extra 5 yards.
Okay, I'll give you the coin flip flop in Detroit. Go ahead, keep going. I can name many of them, many
You're
of them.
You're talking over years, Pete.
Well, okay.
I'm talking about a three-game
okay,
window.
Okay, we can name one and two. We can name two in 3 weeks here. You got the fumble in Arizona. They shouldn't have reviewed it. You got that one last night. There you go.
You're
two
crazy,
in 3 weeks.
Pete. Tony, I didn't watch.
Tony, if you train the officials to actually do the job within a year, you would notice no difference. None. Zero.
I mean, that's
Zero.
Not the argument.
That
I
is
think
the
you
argument.
Could train
exactly.
people. No. You said the replacement officials
they wouldn't be.
Made no more mistakes than
no,
these
that's
officials.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Is that what he said, Joe?
That's not what I said.
Joe, is that what he said?
He's putting words in my mouth.
I have a headache.
And I have a headache because I won, and now I have a headache.
I think Brian won because he had to sit and listen to this.
I enjoyed every moment of it.
You, my friend, are entitled to your
wrong opinion. We just got word from the draft room. They want to know what's going on in here.
Hey, turn your mic off, Joe. No one asked you, you dummy.
Joe, play that Sun Devil Fight song. I want to hear it. Pac-12 South champions.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Pac-12. There you go. Might be Pac-12 champions.
You want to bet that?
Yeah.
The dinner?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know, your dinner, that's like five of my
well,
dinners.
That's not my you, problem.
You, know, you say you better choose the restaurant
Put
right
your
now.
Money where your mouth is.
I could, we hit a dinner, I take a McDonald's.
No,
eat.
No, winner chooses.
No.
Oh, you're scared. You don't believe in your team.
No, because
you
I
are
don't,
weak
I don't
and
go
you're
to,
scared.
I'm not a great Poubon like you are. I don't go to the foo-foo restaurants.
If you thought your team was going to win, it wouldn't matter.
You want to go?
Folks, that's the CopyFacts face-off for this week. Four more of those before this show.
Loser again, Pete.
Takes a hiatus at the end of the season. You don't want to miss any of it. Thanks to the folks at CopyFacts. Time for news from our friends at News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, a quick injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good because of the Thursday game. The Jags had to issue an injury report today, not practicing. Stephen Burton still suffering the effects of the concussion. Justin Forsett not on injured reserve, but in a boot. And Josh Evans injured his shoulder and his elbow in Cleveland. And today, Gus Bradley said that it would be the shoulder that would make him highly doubtful to be on the field on Thursday night against the Houston
Texans. That's a loss.
Yeah, I don't like that. Look, forget the loss for what they're doing now, but for the long term, you want him on the field as much as possible.
Yeah, listen, I think Winston Guy's done a nice job. I think he's a very good addition to this team. He's coming to make some big hits, good plays. But listen, I think Josh Evans is a better player and obviously a much higher ceiling. And he having both of them makes you much better. Now Winston Guy's going to have to play the whole game. And you're not as strong.
Yeah, I like to see all the young players on the field. To me, I want to see him growing.
Right, that's what this is all about.
Well,
all right,
this guy's not an ancient guy. He's a second-year player.
But he's not going to be the starting safety down the road.
No, I think Josh Evans is.
Right. Correct. So quit arguing for the sake of arguing then.
He can't help it.
He really can't.
When it comes to you, well, you're like red meat.
Once in a while, we need to turn his mic off.
Why? The show would go downhill.
By the way, I can't wait to see the November ratings since you've been back. Do we have those yet?
By the way,
we have those
you
yet,
do, Brian. You were gone as well.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Don't
I
laugh too hard. I mean, honestly, let's say. And Joe, guess what? You weren't producing. The show is probably better than ever.
I just like the laugh that he gave. I was laughing at his laugh as much as.
Do we have those yet? I want to get. I can't wait.
Yeah,
get
I got you laughing, and I got Joe clapping like he's like a cheerleader.
Well, yeah.
Put your pom poms up.
Yeah, but he was kind of producing. He's kind of producing away from, you know.
He doesn't even barely produce when he's here.
Okay, and then it's not, I can honestly say, I'll say this. It wouldn't be because Joe wasn't here, and it wouldn't be because Brian wasn't here.
You're
it
right. Would
be because Marco really stepped up and played a big role in that.
I'm not laughing anymore. Okay, let's talk about this is a great show. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Winners of 9 in a row to start the season. Now they've lost 3 division games in a row. You obviously are going to stand up and show your feathers on this one because you said that they...
He was right. Pete was right.
That they were not a real, you know, the real deal.
And I disagreed with Pete a little bit. I thought I didn't think they were as good as the Broncos. I thought they'd split with the Broncos, though. And Pete was right. They've lost 3 in a row. They should never have lost to San Diego at home.
But... I'll say this.
Alex Smith played pretty well.
Yesterday. He played pretty well yesterday. But here's the thing on the Chiefs. They could be 9-7.
Who do they have left?
Hold on.
I mean, they're winnable games in there, but they go to San Diego. I do know that. That's a tough game.
Let me pull it up.
I think they play the Redskins out of Washington. They should win that game.
Yeah, the Redskins are.
But the Chiefs aren't. Do you really think the Chiefs can go anywhere and say, okay, they're a win. That's a win. They're going to win that. Like they have the Colts. If I'm not mistaken, they still have the Colts. Yeah. And one other one is...
Hold on, I'll give it to you. I was clicking too many buttons here. Okay, here's the remainder of their schedule. At Washington, at Oakland, Indianapolis, in Kansas City, at San Diego. So 3 of their final...
They're going to beat
4
Oakland.
4 are on the road.
They'll beat Oakland.
Well, they should, but that's always a tough game for them. Always. That's all their rivalry
game.
Yeah,
that's a huge rivalry.
I think they'll go 2-2.
But the possibility is that they could go 0-4. Wouldn't you even agree that? But considering where the games are,
even if they go 2-2, that means they're going to be 11-5. That means they're 2-5 the last 7. That's not good.
Yeah, and if you're in the playoffs, you want to play them, right?
You didn't early because that defense played so well, but now
they can't get a sack anymore.
But and here's the other thing, I said this all along, even when I was critiquing them. Remember, they were perceived as being this great run defense. They were for a long time, and I got to look at the stats, but they were last in the league in yards per carry.
No, you're right.
And that's starting to show up a little bit. Denver ran on them a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And Marcus Cooper, who played really well.
Why are they playing so much man?
That's who they are.
I understand that, but you're playing the Broncos.
I agree. I went back to
keep everything in front
Tony,
of you.
Tony, I went back and rewatched that first game, and I came out. I listed about 6 or 7 things that need to happen or what would happen, why they lost that game. One of them was because they played too much man. They used Barry as a dime linebacker in that game, and he was kind of blitzing. He'd get caught in no man's land. Marcus Cooper can't play man-to-man on anybody anymore. He had a good start to the season, but he's a rookie corner. They're torching him. And then offensive line. Fisher didn't play. He went back in yesterday because Albert got hurt.
He played pretty well. Fisher played pretty well, actually, when he went back in.
Got hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Albert got hurt. That's a big hit. Fasano went out. The receivers don't win enough.
They're not scary.
They don't win enough.
Did Justin Houston and Tom Bahali play yesterday?
Tom Bahali did, but no Houston.
Okay. Houston's out for two more weeks. Yeah. And Holly was having problems with his push-off because of
his ankle. I mean, come on. It's a speed raiser.
And,
edge rusher.
You look at that team. How good are they? I have to tell you this.
They're going
to
make the playoffs.
There was a tweet at me when it was 21-7. Some guy tweeted something like, oh, and this is still the worst 9-0 team you've ever seen. Da, 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 da. I said, a lot of football left. It was 10 minutes ago in the second quarter. Are you kidding me?
With the Broncos, they can score in bunches. And if you play man – Why would you do that to Cooper and keep him out there by himself?
It was bad. It was bad. The kid's been torched like
help him
3
out.
Straight games.
I mean,
the Broncos torched him the first game. The Chargers torched him the week before. They almost have to sit him down.
I thought Phil Simms had it best in the game. I thought it was a great analysis, and they didn't do it. They should have doubled Decker and doubled Demaryius Thomas and played man inside and take your chances.
Yeah.
I mean,
with no Julius Thomas, it makes sense.
Take your chances. Right. I mean, Phil was right on, and they didn't do it.
No, I wouldn't play man-to-man like they play at the first game. You shouldn't.
I agree.
See, it's almost like they think that when you play Peyton, you're not getting to him anyways. Unless you're getting pressure inside, you're not going to get to him. Most of the time.
Jags did early. Jags knocked him around early.
Well, where's the pressure coming from, though?
Everywhere.
Yeah, but a lot of it's from the inside. The Chiefs don't get a lot. Poe, early on, got pressure early in the season. He stopped getting pressure.
Broncos.
I agree with you for the most part.
Yeah.
Broncos finish with Tennessee and San Diego the next 2 weeks at home, right? And then go to Houston and Oakland.
They're not going
to
lose.
They're not losing. Yeah, they're going to have the number one seed.
All right. So does it help them this year?
Depends what the weather in Denver's like.
No, I mean, they didn't do it last. They didn't have it last. They had it last year and they lost it.
Yeah, it was freezing cold. And the only reason they were in the game is because Trindon Holliday returned 2 kicks for touchdowns.
Yeah, but also the safety lets a ball go over his head.
I agree with that, Pete. But the game, was not the game. The scoring the Broncos had that game was because of Trendon Holliday. They had 14 points in special teams.
Yeah, but look, they're going to have the number one seed. Let's play at the playoffs. They be number one. The Patriots will be number two. The Bengals will be number three because they'll beat Indianapolis this week. The Colts will be number four. The Chiefs will be number five. And
number six to be determined.
Six. So six plays three. Bengals are beating the six team. I don't care who it is.
But here's the thing. It's going to be Denver and New England in the AFC title game. And if it's a cold day in Denver and it's, you know, 20 degrees, New England's going to win that game.
Watch out for the Bengals in the postseason. That defense is nasty.
I agree.
It's nasty.
But I don't see them going into New England and beating Tom Brady.
The scary thing is how good would New England – I mean, Cincinnati's defense, if Geno Atkins and Leon Hall were on it.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, my God. You got pass rushers. You got linebackers who can run. You got secondary people. Reggie Nelson's good. I mean, they're good. That's a good – you go to San Diego and you hold him to 10 points and the last three
that's
came with a fumble.
Something.
That's impressive. Right. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, we need a break. We'll wrap up Jaguars Monday from the HananiaAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio. Read your tweet.
Yeah, I'd like to thank
this is how nice the Twittersphere is, right?
I'd like to thank all my fans out there, especially JagFan2468. Thank you so much for the kind tweet. I'll just read it. Tony Vaselli is such an obnoxious A, couple letters, and then there's a hole.
Okay.
Can you not debate without calling people names? Not really, I can't. And telling someone they're wrong. Well, when I'm right, they're wrong. Unintelligent. Thank you, Jag fan.
He knows a winner in a debate when he hears one. I didn't get that tweet from him.
He's one of your followers, probably.
He knows a winner. He knows a winner when he hears
it. He's probably in the Prisco cult.
No, there's only one cult in this town.
All right, so to tonight's game. Seattle and New Orleans in the Pacific Northwest. That's a great – we talked about that, right? You haven't been out there to see a game.
No, it's the only place I haven't been.
That is an awesome
I have a strange feeling I'm going to make my way there in the postseason if I can endure the
long –
Are they going to let you out of the studio for
postseason?
Out. Yeah, postseason I'm out. But you know what? If there's a playoff game in Denver and one in Seattle, I'll take Denver. You know, got to go see Peyton.
No, yeah. I get that, but Seattle's a great place.
That is a place you need to get to for a game. It is a great environment.
I'd love to get there. Can you beam me there without the six-hour flight?
No, it's a really long
way. No, it's a long way.
It's a long flight, man.
So what do you think? I mean, is Drew Brees and the New Orleans offense clicking enough to go out there and take that defense down?
Without Browner and without Thurman, I mean, that's huge for Seattle. Those two guys play great man-to-man.
Yeah, but they were pretty good last year when Browner was out.
Yeah, but they had Thurman. Well, Thurman wouldn't play that, but no. They had Trufant. He was a year younger. I just think with the Saints, you have to take away some Graham. So how do you take away Graham? Do you put Sherman on him like Tlaib was? I don't think they don't usually do that. You know, people think that they put Sherman on the best receiver all the time. They don't do that all the time. They did it against Bolden because Bolden can't run, so it's an easier matchup for him. But they don't do that all the time. So I don't know if they'll do that. Plus, you have two. There's linebackers can run. Wagner can run. They can all run. And the safeties are pretty good in coverage. It's just Earl Thomas isn't big enough to cover him.
Nope.
Cam Chancellor's not fast enough to cover him. Bobby Wagner's probably not fast enough to cover him. So how do you cover him? Or do you just say, I'll take Colston away, I'll double Graham. You know, put Sherman on Colston, double Graham. I would double Graham, too. And then you got to factor the backfield, the guys out of the backfield, because they're the best screen team in the league. Wouldn't you agree?
Darren Sproles.
I was just about to say, yeah, that guy is unreal.
But but even if it's Pierre Thomas, they're a great screen team. So I think that's going to factor in big. I think the screen game will factor in big. But this is everything we love about it. If Seattle wins, they basically clinch home field advantage because they've already beat Seattle. I mean, already beat Carolina and would have beaten New Orleans, so they have a three-game lead before to go. So this playoffs will go through Seattle if they win tonight.
Listen, no, they don't lose in Seattle. Seattle doesn't. Russell Wilson's never lost there.
So if they win tonight, you think they're going to the Super Bowl?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You see, I'm not so – something will get them, and whether it's the undisciplined play or the enormity of the game.
I think they win tonight. I think they beat
I picked Seattle. Them to win, but I think it's going to be a good game.
Oh, it's going to be a fabulous game.
I think they win. I think they're
physical. I think they'll run the ball against.
But I don't think they're like they play San Francisco next week. They could lose at San Francisco.
All right, no big deal though.
But San Francisco could go to Seattle and win in the playoffs.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
I do.
Is Joe Staley out?
I don't think.
That's to be determined yet. It looked like it was bad.
I don't think Kaepernick can win in Seattle.
He's playing better now the last 2 weeks.
I don't understand that, but I don't think he can win in Seattle.
And he hasn't played well in Seattle. And they haven't played well. Since he's been there, they haven't played well in Seattle. No. Lost twice. New Orleans can win in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. No, New Orleans can win today.
Can Cam win in Seattle?
That'd be they a got good a front, great, defensive great front. Defense. I mean, that'd be a yeah. great game. I just think Seattle, that home field advantage is so big.
It is big.
And the weather can get nasty there. That team's built to play in nasty weather. I just think if they win tonight and they get the home field, I think they're going to Super Bowl.
But here's what you're not factoring in. I love Russell Wilson. It's one thing to be the guy bursting onto the scene and going on the road in the postseason and playing in the postseason doing something. Another thing to be the guy sitting at home and this is your moment, you better do it. You know what I mean?
He hasn't done it, so we'll have to wait and see, but I think he can.
And let's not forget, this team that people fell in love with last year was down 14-0 at Washington in the postseason before RG3 went out of the game. Right?
No, I agree.
So they might not even made it to where they went to.
No, you're right.
So we'll see.
This would be a great game.
I think this is me, but I think the discipline.
No, you don't love – the reason Pete doesn't love Seattle is because they're built more like an old-style football team, and they don't have a passing-first – the guy quarterback,
which
yet.
Is why I don't think they're.
And that's why Pete doesn't.
I have
like
my doubts about it. It's not that I don't like him.
Drew Brees is the guy that intrigues me the most. You know, the Jaguars have had success. They've never beaten Tom Brady, but they played well against him, like last year here, and they played well at times against Peyton Manning in his career. But they've never even come close to slowing down Drew Brees. Not even close. That guy with the ball in his hands, to me, is the scariest guy in the league.
Which is why tonight's going to be a good game, because when you take the two man corners out of the equation and you have Drew Brees on the other side of the ball, I mean, if they were playing Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick this week without those guys, then I'd say, all right, it's not going to be that big a deal. But Brees will find your weak spot now. He'll pick on your weak spot. He'll go after those guys. And it's Maxwell and it's Jeremy Lane. Those two young guys will be in
there. No, I agree.
They're going to get picked on a lot tonight.
It's going to be a great game.
It's fun. It's the clash of – nobody wants to play in New Orleans in the postseason either.
Oh, I agree. Listen, if New Orleans gets home field, they're going.
I just think it's going to be real crazy. But I don't know. I just think this team is the one seed. This team's the one – it's going to be crazy. Anybody can go. Well, anybody.
Here's the thing that we are not talking about enough, and we will – and I'm actually next Sunday night, because we're off, I'm doing the Westwood One game in New Orleans.
Who do they play?
Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's
Carolina can still win that division. Because Carolina is physical and tough, and they're going to get after Brees.
And they play him twice. Right. They have two games against them.
I mean, Carolina, so don't count out Carolina as being the number two seed.
And what Cam is doing is MVP-like. He's not the MVP. Peyton Manning's the MVP. But it's MVP-like because he doesn't have a lot around him. He's got Steve Smith.
I think Tom Brady's the MVP. What he's doing with what he has.
Maybe.
Well, we were talking about it earlier, and they just don't have anything up there.
Besides Gronk.
Other than Gronkowski.
Cam beat him. Let's not forget.
Oh, I agree.
Cam, you could make a case for Cam Newton.
No, I'm not saying you can't. No. It's a very good call.
Well, who does Cam have on his offense?
Steve Smith's pretty good. He's an older guy, but he's still pretty good.
Well, he's not as good in his position as Gronk is at his.
Fair.
Final thoughts says we don't have a Thursday show because, obviously, the show is Thursday with the Jags and the Texans. Final thoughts on that game and how you see it rolling out?
I think if the Jags start fast, they win the ball game. I'm picking the Jags, and if they start fast, I think the Texans will fold their tent. They're right. Waiting for a reason to fold their tent.
I agree. I think the Jaguars win the game.
When you say start fast, you mean just like they did last time and get out
there? Yeah, just score. I mean, they don't have to have a huge lead, but start fast, score early. If it's close and they're having success or moving the ball, and if they frustrate Case Keenum early. I just think
they're still alive in the playoff hunt too. They haven't been eliminated
they are,
yet.
Not yet.
No,
not
they
yet.
Need a lot of things to happen. Let's not even go there. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Jaguars Monday finished for another week from the HannityAutos.com studio. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, who Tony Boselli endorses as the best producer in NFL radio. Have a great night, everybody.